In a powerful and moving recent New York Times op-ed, popular Christian writer Anne Lamott writes, "Many of us who believe in a reality beyond the visible, who believe in a soul that survives death, and who are hoping for seats in heaven near the dessert table, also recoil from the image of a high school coach, high school football coach, praying at the 50-yard line." Continuing from Anne, "It offends me to see sanctimonious public prayer in any circumstance, but a coach holding his players hostage while an audience watches his piety makes my skin crawl." Now, Lamott is crystal clear that her opposition to performance piety is not because she's an atheist or even a non-Christian. Performance piety, my phrase, not hers, offends her, especially when it comes from fellow Christians. The goal of performance piety is not to serve or even to pray, but to colonize public space. It is a way of saying, this space is reserved for Christians alone. If you don't like it, tough. Get used to it. In today's gospel reading, Jesus also has had it up to here with his co-religionists. Now, I take care to insist on this point, that Jesus is a Jew speaking to other Jews, because Christians often forget that point. This is not a Christian trashing another faith. Passages like this one are potentially dangerous for Christian readers, because if they are poorly read, they can serve to foster anti-Judaism and anti-Semitism. Jesus, like Anne Lamott, wants piety without the performance. He wants faithful observance of the law without legalism. He is frustrated with some of the religious leaders of his time who imposed burdens on followers that they themselves were unwilling to follow. He is also upset that some leaders found loopholes around basic obligations, including care for one's parents, by clever legal finessing. He accuses some among his own people of being scrupulous with the details of the law while forgetting what the law is truly about. Then he said to them, "You have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to keep your tradition." Now, at this critical juncture, a question arises. What do we do about a situation in which traditions are being used to diminish life, to marginalize the vulnerable, alienate people of other faiths or no faiths? One possibility is to ditch it, ditch the tradition, walk out the door. Should we not opt to be spiritual but not religious? Perhaps it's time to move on. Is that the move Jesus endorsed in his own time? I think we can safely say that Jesus never commended ditching Jewish faith, nor did he intend to start a new religion. He was born a Jew and died a Jew. So then what did he recommend? Let's listen to his words. "Then he called the crowd again and said to them, 'Listen to me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going in can defile, but the things that come out are what defile.' When he had left the crowd and entered the house, his disciples asked him about the parable. And he said to them, 'So are you also without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into a person from outside cannot defile, since it enters not the heart but the stomach and goes out into the sewer?' And he said, 'It is from what comes out of a person that defiles. For it is from within, from the human heart, that evil intentions come. Now, I hear Jesus saying that the trouble lies not in our traditions, but how we deploy them. The laws, the structures, the rituals, and the liturgies of our tradition can be well used or badly misused. One way to misuse any tradition is to deploy it to mark out who is in and who is out. If you do it our way, you belong. You are among the right-thinking folks. You're part of the club. You are pure. If you don't do it our way, you are outside the tradition. You don't belong. You are outsiders. You are impure. Now that Jesus cannot stand. Jesus cannot stand seeing his tradition being deployed to create a dividing line between who is in and who is out. Let's call this purity piety. For Jesus, purity piety cuts against the grain of the Jewish tradition. Why? Because Jesus understands that the whole point of his tradition is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Purity piety polices and limits the reach of love by dividing the world into two groups: the pure, who are worthy of regard and love, and those who, by virtue of being impure, because they don't follow your codes and norms, are regarded as impure and unworthy of love. Purity piety is spiritually toxic because it shrinks the community of those who count and disregards others as unworthy of regard. Just as in Jesus' time, our time and place are also afflicted by performance piety and purity piety. No wonder then that so many, particularly young people, are checking out of religious life altogether. They quite understandably opt to be spiritual but not religious in alternative and other life-giving ways. Those who feel called, even compelled, to leave must be granted the spiritual freedom to follow the Spirit in other ways. It's not our job to try to forcibly put them in the church and close the doors and lock the keys. But Jesus' intentions were not to call, at least in his time, he did not call the Jews to ditch the codes and norms of his tradition. He did not call them to be spiritual but not religious. Instead, he invited his people to be spiritual and religious. His invitation was this: infuse your tradition with a spirit of inward purity. Genuine purity comes from within and not from without. When the rituals, institutions, and structures of our tradition are shot through with love and compassion, then the tradition can and will live. They will be more than dry bones. Even now, it is not too late. Our societies still desperately need communities that follow the Jesus way, a way rooted in the authentic purity of infinite love and unlimited compassion. So then, enough with performance piety of public prayer and purity piety that is obsessed with minutiae but bereft of love. Let us pray that we learn this lesson that Jesus sought to teach us before it's too late, before our churches lie desolate and barren as the Spirit moves on elsewhere to heal the world that God so loves.
Amen.